Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv.
So glad to see all of you. I'd like to welcome you on behalf of Stand in the Gap and Park Memorial United Methodist Church. And we'd like to thank Park Memorial for allowing us to have this meeting, this Stand in the Gap meeting tonight. I'd also like to recognize Jessica Helms, who has spent a lot of time and put a lot of hard work in getting this program organized. And so we would like to recognize her. Where is Jessica? Is she in here? Jessica, she's at the back. Thank you so much. Let me briefly run through the speakers that we're going to have tonight, and then I will give a little more information. We will have Matt and Jennifer McComb. They are a son and mother who will speak with you. Lisa Harris, Ann Eubank, Gabriel Smith, and Luca Boci. Unfortunately, Troy Towns will not be able to be with us tonight due to unforeseeable circumstances, and we will certainly miss him a lot, but he will not be able to be here with us tonight. Our first speakers tonight will be Matt and Jennifer McComb. Matt is a 12-year-old former public school student who is now being homeschooled due to Common Core. He wants to share his experience as a child being taught using Common Core. Jennifer is the mother of Matt, and she shares with us her mother's heart and encourages us all to stand in the gap for every child in our state, not just our own, long after we leave here tonight. Let us welcome Matt and Jennifer McComb.
Good evening. My name is Matt McComb. I am in the sixth grade and am currently being homeschooled by my parents because, as a family, we do not believe in Common Core. I want to share with you a speech I wrote last year when I was in fifth grade in public school and having a very hard year. I am a fifth grade student in Alabama school. I would like to talk to you a little bit about my educational experiences as I'm currently being a student learning with Common Core. I've always loved learning and I've been excited about school. I take my education very seriously because I know that learning is the key to my future success. I've never been the kind of kid that gets in trouble because I always try to do my best in all that I do and to be a friend to everyone. I was excited this year when school started because I would finally be a fifth grader. My senior year at my elementary school, everything should have been great, except that I quickly learned that it wasn't. As the year progressed, I started feeling very different than I had in other years. My confidence and my abilities, I began to question. I started having fears that I'd never experienced before. Fears of failure, feeling anxious about school, and very worried about the standardized tests we have been required to take. So many standardized tests this year, more than any other year I can remember. I've also lost 47 pounds this year and even went to a doctor for an endoscopy and other tests. My doctor has not found any medical reason to explain the weight loss or why I continue to have problems with nausea and vomiting. Many times, even though I'm a good student and make good grades, I find that I'm dreading going to school. I've never had a problem in the past taking tests. It just seems to be this year with these tests. There are so many of them. We have taken Global Scholar 3 times, ThinkLink, and in addition, we have benchmark tests every 9 weeks. My teacher that I love has spent so much time with these tests. I got the first N of my life in benchmark reading. They said I cannot read very fast. I felt like a failure. My mom went to the school to take a look at the test material that ended up being a slave document written in really weird English. My teacher did not pick this material. I think it's wrong that teachers go to school to learn how to teach, but now it seems they cannot pick their own lessons. Why? We have very kind and smart teachers at my school. I chose to come here today to talk to you. I love baseball, and I am missing two baseball games because I chose to come today. I know there must be other kids who are going through what me and my sister are going through. By all accounts, this year should have been the best year of all. I was elected to student council, serving as the mayor's assistant this year. I've made good grades and was inducted into the National Honor Society, and recently I was nominated and selected to attend the National Young Leaders Conference this summer. So after many successes, why wouldn't I love going to school? I believe it's because of Common Core. We are often tested on information we have not learned yet. To a child, this is very confusing. I have a wonderful family that supports me and my school. I have faith in God and love in my country. My parents have taught me well, and I have been blessed to have teachers that inspire me to want to learn. Common Core ruined that. Please listen. We must do something to stop Common Core. I am the face of Common Core. Thank you.
Well, I promise I was not going to cry tonight, y'all. He probably shouldn't have gone before me. But I'm going to do my best. Do you believe in God moments? I mean, really believe? Before last year, I would have said yes. I'm the only child of an Alabama pastor and his wife, Dina and Morel Aldrich, pastor of 42 years. I've experienced many God moments in my life, all leading up to the event of this last year. Prior to last year, my life had many difficulties, some of which included losing a child, losing our home in a fire, and most importantly, losing my best friend and my pastor, my father, to a 5-year battle, pancreatic cancer. And most of all of that happened in the same year. No, 2011 was not our year. After all that climbing and crying, you can imagine the joy of life settling down a bit. The school year starting 2013 began with us finally back at home, a series of new beginnings. Two of my children attended public school, my son starting his senior year in fifth grade, and my daughter in the gifted program in third grade at the same school. I had been elected to serve on the school's PTO board and was excited to be part of that work. I was that parent that involved, because my kids are part of this kind of parent, and I love every minute of it. It wasn't long, though, before I started seeing my children acting differently, very anxious, crying about tests, worrying excessively about school. This was odd and new. My children are very resilient children, as evidenced by all the things that our family has endured. And I just couldn't put my finger on it at first. I chalked it up to a phase, a normal part of growing up, but that didn't last long. My son started losing weight rapidly and vomiting. Funny thing was, it was just during the weekday and during school hours. What? Around the same time, I picked up my daughter at school in carpool line, and she met me with big tears, proclaiming, "I'm not good at math anymore." What? She had a 98 average. How could this be? What happened to my baby? This gifted student who just last year felt so confident in her intellectual ability. I actually first heard about Common Core in 2012, but I just passed it off as some program and I didn't follow up. It was on a Facebook page over the Christmas holidays in 2013 that I started researching. I wasn't happy with what I found. It was as like a light just came on.
Was this why my kids have been so stressed out? Could this explain the tears, fears, talk of failure, my son's weight loss and vomiting? My husband and I made an appointment with the school principal immediately. We discussed our research into Common Core. And while she was very kind and understanding, she was not aware of things that we had learned. We didn't know what to do at that point. I became more convinced, though, as time went on, that Common Core was doing damage to my children. I read about parents opting their kids out of Common Core-related tests, so we scheduled another meeting with the counselor. Long story short, while the local school administrators expressed their understanding of our position as parents, the powers that be said our opt-out forms were not valid. That was unacceptable to us as parents, and we said so. I wrote a letter to Governor Bentley, along with quite a few others, over the Easter weekend. We were thrilled when the governor responded on the side of parents having the ultimate say. Different schools handled it differently, but in our school, our principal said children not testing would be required to sit with their head down, essentially refusing to test. They also would not be allowed to participate in the test-taker reward day to come. What? What about all of their hard work all year? A averages over the entire school year. These are good, loving, honest, exemplary students selected by teachers for numerous school awards. Again, this was unacceptable to us as parents, and I voiced it in writing to all that would listen. My reward? I was asked by a principal to resign my elected PTO position because they were told that we'd be homeschooling the next year and that I had a conflict of interest. I refused. Just because I didn't support Common Core did not mean I was against the school. I would have thought that all of my hard work and efforts at the school would have told them that. I even received a letter to my PTO email threatening my family. A portion of the email describes me as a troublemaker, speaking out against Common Core, and no one would investigate it properly. There was much confusion, but this I know, our God is not the author of confusion, and in the end, we did opt out. My children weathered the storm, and they saw their parents will always stand for them, no matter what. I refuse to be silent on matters relating to children. The Bible says in Luke 17:2, it is better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to lose their faith. Listen, guys, I'm not a speaker. I cannot believe that I'm standing up here with these people tonight. I'm not a politician, nor do I have any political aspirations. Simply put, I'm a Christian wife and mother. I have nothing to gain by being here tonight. I love children, mine and yours, regardless of skin color, political persuasion, or socioeconomic status. I began my adult life in the Auburn area, proud college graduate of Auburn University. My first year out of college, I worked as a Head Start teacher right there in Lee County, Opelika. I love that class of children. I have thought of them and prayed for them many times over the last 20 years. They were my kids before I had children. Not a single white child in my classroom, and it made no difference to me. A month ago, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and I had to wait a month to have surgery. God did an incredible work in my life during that month while I was waiting. That kind of move often brings us to our knees. I reflected heavily on my life. I thought about all these children in my class 20 years ago, and I smiled remembering the love we shared in that classroom. You know, a lot happened in 20 years, and I could not remember their last name, but I could see in perfect recall their bright faces and their eagerness to live life and learn. I've recently had the joy of reconnecting with a few of my former students, and they are now parents themselves. I couldn't help but think about that time, that 1 year I spent teaching. I remember my quavius not being able to eat the food the program provided due to problems with his teeth. It pains me every day to see him suffer. Now remember, I was the breadwinner while my husband was finishing college that year. We found a dentist for him, and we saw that he got the care that he needed. You see, it wasn't more government that Marquavius needed. He needed to see the love of Jesus in his life from a professing Christian teacher. If more Christians were showing the love of Christ, we wouldn't have a need for more government programs. As I reflected on the events of the past, it occurred to me, I was a teacher for 1 year, but oh, what joy they brought to my life. Can you imagine being a teacher year after year? I believe most teachers in our public schools are good, caring people who were called to teach and inspire. However, programs like Common Core limit their calling. It limits the teacher's ability to do what they were called to do and what they were taught to be. I trust teachers more than I trust government today. And they are forced to choose between keeping their jobs and being silent or speaking out and losing their paycheck. And for once in my life, I'm glad I'm not a teacher. We must research Common Core, and we must take a stand. Standing in the gap for these children and these teachers, we must let them do their job. They should be the ones writing the standards, along with input from other professionals and parents, not the federal government. This is being undermined with Common Core. Parental input is being taken away at every level. We must wake up. As a parent, I had officials who spoke down to me as if I had no place in this battle. I am the parent. And as much as I love and respect and appreciate educational professionals, no one knows my children the way that I do, and no one loves them more except for God himself. It should be a team effort. Please, please listen to your children. Pay attention. Ask questions, and don't let anybody make you feel dumb for asking a question. These are your children. If I hadn't listened to my kids, I would have made their lives so much worse. If I hadn't gone to the school, asked the hard questions, been willing to accept their ridicule for the sake of my children, I would have become part of the problem. I would have punished them for dropping grades, told them to toughen up. Life is hard. It pains me to think we were that close. How much that would have hurt my family and eroded all that we've worked so hard to build. So I'm going to ask you again, do you believe in God moments? You are not here tonight by accident. It is all part of a greater plan. I encourage you to get involved. There are lots of groups fighting every day, and we need your help. Don't say I'm not important. I'll just let them handle it. We're all fighting battles in our lives, and God doesn't promise that we won't have struggles, but he promises to make a way when there seems to be no way. That's where I found myself after learning that I had cancer. But I'm here tonight, 3 weeks post-op today, and thankfully cancer-free. I truly hate cancer, and I playfully say that I'm adding cancer to the list of C's that I'm already fighting like Common Core. But God sent me a message that reminded me all things are possible through Christ, the big C. I hope this message brings you hope tonight, and I pray you leave this place even better than when you came. One final story, and I'll close. As my dad lay dying in his hospital bed, December 2011, he all of a sudden opened his eyes. He said, Jennifer, I want you to stand up, turn around 3 times, and tell me what you see. I felt like a complete idiot. But I would have done anything for him. I stood up, turning around 3 times. I see a Christmas tree. Art? Yes. And he interrupted me. No, no. Do it again. And this time, tell me what you really see. As I was turning the second time, I got it. I see the love of a husband and wife of 45 years that stood the test in time.
I see family, love, commitment, and a father who has been the best daddy that a girl could have. My dad smiled at me and he said, "That's right. Now promise me that you won't ever forget to always turn around and see what's really there." Imagine our astonishment. Even after cancer had ravaged his body, in the end, my dad was able to be an eye donor. I challenge every person here tonight to look around, to always see what's truly going on. I believe in God moments, don't you?
Thank you, Jennifer and Matt. Our next speaker is Lisa Harris. Lisa is a retired teacher who has taught grades 2 through 12. She has served on the Curriculum Development Board, helping to write and implement the K-12 course of study in English and Language Arts. Mrs. Harris has also been a panelist on the Glenn Beck Show on the Blaze Television Network, discussing data mining. Let's please welcome Lisa Harris.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight. As was stated, I am a retired Georgia teacher. After retiring, my husband made a career move that moved us to Tuscaloosa, Alabama in 2011. Since that time, I have been extensively researching education issues in Alabama and nationwide. It is my pleasure to be here to share with you the truth that I have learned. First, let me say this fight against Common Core is not a right-left fight. It is a right-wrong fight. It is not about politics, business, or jobs. It is about children, and that is why you are here, your children and grandchildren. Let me make this very clear. As a teacher, I am all for high standards, and that is exactly why I'm against Common Core. They are untested, unproven, and were written by 5 individuals who were not education experts in the respective fields of English language arts and mathematics. These standards were developed using what is called backward design, meaning the standardized tests were developed, and from there they went backward to write the standards on what children need to know. Alabama does have Common Core. They signed on to adopt the standards sight unseen months before they were completed. Before I continue, let me tell you a little bit about my background. I originally majored in journalism and worked for newspapers, magazines, and TV, did advertising and public relations prior to having children. After having my 2 sons, I spent a few years as a stay-at-home mom. My boys were each very smart, very talented, but very unique. One drove me crazy because he was so meticulous that everything had to be perfect, and the other one was, "I'll do just enough to get by." In all my years of working with children, I have never found any 2 who are alike. I discovered as a mom that I had a true love of children. I developed a passion for their love of learning and wanted to be a part of that and to touch their young lives. So I returned to college to get a teaching degree. And by the time both my boys were in school in the late 80s, I began teaching. I did teach every grade from 2nd through 12th grade, but I spent most of my career, about 15 years, teaching hormones with feet as an 8th grade English language arts teacher. My class motto was "Dare to Dream." Every child is different, a special individual. Common Core does not address individual needs. It strives to make all students the same. Its goal is aimed not at low achievers, nor the top gifted honor students, but the middle 40% to track them, slot them, and make them workforce ready for vocational college or to go directly into a skilled labor job. As a teacher, I had a class theme that said fair does not mean equal. One of the things that you'll see in some of the Common Core text material is an equal sign in math, and out beside it, it says fair. That's a little bit of a political statement there. But fair does not mean equal. When my students would complain about something I did for a particular student and whine, "Ms. Harris, that's not fair," I would tell them, fair does not mean equal. Because you are all different, I will not treat you the same. I will treat you based on what is in the best interest of each of you. The approach of Common Core is to treat each child the same, equal, to level the playing field. But that does not serve individuals. Picture, if you will, three middle school students. If you know anything about adolescent development, you might have an eighth grader who's this tall and one that's this tall, one that's somewhere in the middle. Okay, they go to a ball field that has a big wooden privacy fence, and they want to see the ball game that's taking place. So three boxes of about a foot high are set down in front of each of the children. Well, the tallest student can easily see over the fence and see the ball game. The middle child, if he stands on tiptoe, can see over the fence. But that short little guy, he doesn't see a thing. That's what Common Core does. It equals the playing field by giving everybody the same approach and not what they need as individuals. In my many years in the classroom, I saw lots of trends come and go in education, but I also saw much government intrusion into education. However, the more government tried to fix the problems, the worse those problems got, and the more problems were created. During my tenure, my experience allowed me to gain expertise in English language arts curriculum development and child psychology and the stages of child development, physical, emotional, and mental. I served for 5 years on my system's English language arts curriculum committee, contributing standard ideas to the state of Georgia for Georgia performance standards before Common Core came into being. And I served as a mentor teacher, as a teacher support specialist. In understanding why Common Core standards are bad, one must understand the stages of mental development. Children go through what is called concrete to abstract thought. Concrete thought is what our elementary and early middle school students think in. Tangible, solid ideas. Somewhere between the ages of 11 and 14, late middle school to early high school, they move into what is called abstract thought, where they can think in abstract, intangible ideas, things that cannot be seen or touched. Common Core does not align with these stages. Some concepts, like these math concepts, are thrown in way too soon before children are ready to understand abstract thought. While at the same time, in the upper grades, the level of education is brought down to concrete thought rather than higher order thinking skills. Younger students in math need instruction to be linear, systematic, step-at-a-time approaches, not multiple strategies and crazy, confusing steps. All teachers learn this well. A methodic approach known as Bloom's taxonomy, which takes teaching from the low level of thought processes, where you teach children at the basic level of knowledge, where you give them a foundation of basic knowledge and move on up the thought process to higher level thinking skills, critical thinking. Common Core turns Bloom's taxonomy upside down to where children are given ideas in an abstract level before they have built a foundation. We keep hearing from all these educators across Alabama, they're just standards, just adding 2 plus 2, or just teaching subject and verb agreement. Well, standards is what is to be taught, but curriculum is how it's taught. If you are a parent and your child is in a math classroom and they are doing crazy, drawing crazy boxes, that is curriculum. That is how they are learning that information. If they're in an English language arts high school classroom, instead of reading classic literature, they're reading informational texts like EPA manuals and executive orders. That is on the lower end of the thinking scale. Whereas literary devices that they need to know for college, such as similes, metaphors, figurative language, all those things are not being taught, and classic literature is being taught in subject areas like math and social studies, not the place where they're going to learn higher-order thinking skills. When I began teaching, there was some government involvement, but for the most part, I was accountable to the state, the local system, my school, and my students and their parents. Middle school students are constant contradictions. 1 minute they think they're grown, the next minute they think they're 2. They are going through constant changes. They are very, very social, and they actually go through a mental stage where they go into a brain plateau. Sometimes you wonder if their brain did. Back in the 80s and 90s, my classroom was alive with learning. I spent my time planning and preparing engaging and innovative activities. Now, through email and social media, I have been able to keep in touch with those former students, now in their late 20s and 30s. I see their successes as young adults, their marriages, the children that they've had of their own, their careers. I had numerous students who have gone on to be successful as doctors and lawyers, engineers, art directors. So much success out of those students from a Georgia public school. Let me tell you about one particular student that I had come to meet in eighth grade. She was already 15 years old and an alcoholic. Her mother was in prison. Her father had long since been gone, and she'd been kicked out of every middle school in the county. She was living with a foster family who took her under their wing. The counselor came to us after a couple of weeks and said, "Let me tell you about this child, because y'all are going to have to do some intervention here to make her fit in, to help her make friends." Well, over the course of the year, I grabbed on to her and took her like she was one of my own. Dare to Dream became her theme, too. She left eighth grade and went into ninth grade as a class officer. Her senior year, I received a letter naming me as her Who's Who teacher because she had been named the Who's Who of America high school students. We've kept in touch over the years. We've emailed and kept up with each other. About 6 months ago, she sent me an email and said, "I'm working on my thesis. I need some grammatical help. Can you help me?" "Of course. Tell me what you need." So I helped her with that paper. About 3 months ago, I got a Facebook notification that said she had tagged me in a post. So I went to that notification, to that post, and there was a picture. And it said, "Miss Harris, see my sweatshirt? I did it. I kept it in my mind, Dare to Dream. I couldn't have done it without you." That sweatshirt was a sweatshirt for Harvard. She turned her life around. That is the story of what teaching is about, touching individual children and making a difference. During those early years of the 80s and 90s, I was able to get to know my students, to find out what was going on in their lives, and to help them to strive and thrive. But in 2001, when No Child Left Behind came into effect, my creative, innovative, engaging, fun classroom, because I was known as that fun teacher. A lot of teachers didn't like me because I was that fun teacher. But my students were learning because they were engaged. When No Child Left Behind came into effect, everything changed. My classroom became a test-focused, test-prep, data analysis center. I became a data-drone test facilitator. I was told by my principal, don't teach that novel your students need for high school. Do those test prep books because we must pass AYP. Everything became about the test and became a paperwork nightmare. No Child Left Behind is still in effect. Common Core did not replace No Child Left Behind. It just added to it on steroids. Alabama did apply as a part of their application, for the No Child Left Behind waiver. For the third time, they agreed to implement the Common Core standards. In the application in September of 2012, at the Alabama State Department of Education, submitted a flexibility waiver application agreeing to implement Common Core standards along with a companion document, the Alabama Plan 2020. Alabama Plan 2020 was made to go through numerous rewrites at the request of the U.S. Department of Education. It was the summer of 2013, after all those rewrites, to make it totally based on Obama's blueprint for implementation of Common Core, we received the waiver. The No Child Left Behind waiver does not free us from No Child Left Behind. It does two minor things. First, it changes our accountability measure from AYP, adequately yearly progress, to Alabama Plan 2020, which is race-based. It changes the accountability from one measure for everyone to a different set of standards for performance based on race, with Asian and white children at the top and Hispanic and last black children at the bottom. It takes Alabama back to the 1960s to the concept of separate but equal. The other thing that it does is it gives 20% flexibility on the use of Title I funds for failing schools in Alabama. That's about 5% of all Alabama schools. Some other things that Alabama has done to implement Common Core, we had what was called the Alabama Reading Initiative. Approximately $50 million a year funded legislatively for the Alabama Reading Initiative. This went into place back in the 1990s. It had brought us, by 1999, to being number one in the nation in reading games for fourth through eighth graders. It was a very specific program. It used research-based, field-tested strategies and had coaches in place in schools to train teachers and work with students. The goal was for K through 3 to have students going into fourth grade reading on grade level, because that's where reading gaps begin when they begin reading for comprehension. 2 years ago, ARI was completely shut down. The website was closed. It said there are no documents here. Later we went to it and found that it said ARI literacy strategies will not be taught this year so that teachers may be trained in the implementation of Common Core. Now, the website basically says nothing, but it has been totally revamped to teach literacy through Common Core. The funds have been repurposed for the implementation of Common Core, and the reading coaches have been reassigned to middle and high schools as the Common Core implementation team. Another thing that happened a few months ago, when parents were very concerned about data being collected on their children, Dr. Weiss in the State Department wrote a resolution. Well, I went through that resolution because he said, everything is fine, there's no data being collected, you don't have to worry. I went through that resolution line by line and found there was plenty to be worried about. First off, it says we're following FERPA, which is the Family Educational Rights Privacy Act that goes back to the 1970s. We're following that law. We're not revealing data. Well, on January 2nd, 2012, regulatory changes that bypassed Congress went into effect. It basically gutted FERPA. It now says that data can and will be collected on your children and shared with third parties for educational purposes. That's Google, Microsoft, textbook company, anybody they want to share it with. The contract with ActAspire, the Common Core Aligned Test that Alabama uses, plainly says that they can and will share data at their discretion. Let us talk for just a minute about Common Core, and even more specifically, Alabama. We are regularly asked why we keep bringing in speakers from out of state. Well, for all of the 43, it was 45, and a couple withdrew, states who now have adopted Common Core along with Washington, D.C. and the Virgin Islands, the standards and requirements are the same for every state. The standards are copyrighted and owned by two trade organizations in Washington, D.C. They are lobbyists, not representative groups. The NGA, the National Governors Association, and the CCSSO, the lobbying group for state school superintendents. But the story being told in Alabama is that Alabama does not have Common Core. We have the Alabama College and Career Standards, College and Career Ready Standards. Well, that is splitting hairs. A minimum of 85% of Alabama College and Career Ready Standards is Common Core. Every state who adopted Common Core has its own name for its complete set of standards. In Georgia, it's called the Common Core Georgia Performance Standards. In Tennessee, it's Tennessee Core. In Mississippi, surprise, surprise, the Mississippi College and Career Readiness Standards. In fact, I just read an article just a few nights ago in the Washington Post called Common Core by Any Other Name, which said that two-thirds of the states that have Common Core call it by a different name. But if you go to any of those states' websites, it clearly explains about how it has adhered to the requirements of teaching, the standards, and which Common Core aligned standardized national assessment that state is using. All of the state's websites are fairly straightforward about Common Core and its specifications for the implementation of the standards, with the exception of the Alabama State Department of Education website. On the ACCRS homepage, it says that Alabama combined the best of Alabama standards with some of Common Core to get internationally benchmark standards that are some of the best in the nation. First, Common Core standards are not internationally benchmarked. They are internationally informed because there is no measure for comparing states because there is not a common test. In China, they test only the brightest and richest school districts, and that's where they get their scores. Not every child in China is tested. Montgomery is the new spin city, and there is so much spin about Common Core that it is presented in a very deceptive way. In March of 2013, I and two other teachers testified before the House Education Subcommittee, and while after we spoke, Dr. Weiss was called up to speak to respond to what we had to say. We were given a five-minute time limit each. He was given no time limit. But while he was speaking, we asked to have the opportunity to ask him a question. Repeatedly he says that Alabama doesn't have Common Core and that we can make changes anytime we want to. We can choose, we can pick and choose, and throw out what we don't like. Well, our group, Alabamians United for Excellence in Education, called those two trade organizations who own the copyright to the standards. And we said, can the standards be changed? Do we have to teach them all? They said, no, the standards cannot be changed. No, you cannot throw any of them out. They must be all taught. 100% of the Common Core standards must be taught as written. Dr. Bice's response to that was, that is incorrect. Now, you understand what that means. Dr. Bice is claiming that the owners of these standards are wrong about the contractual requirements of these standards, which Alabama has twice applied for, has twice agreed to adopt, and in the waiver application agreed a third time to implement. When it comes to education in Alabama, everyone is listening and following unquestionably one man. Parents, stand up for your children. Stand in the gap for them. I can go on and on about the standards, the methods, the textbooks and what's in them. In 2012, I reviewed English language arts textbooks and helped one person on that committee of about 65 get five inappropriate textbooks thrown out. One person who wrote five minority reports and eventually went to Governor Bentley to get Dr. Bice to throw them out. I will answer questions on any of those topics, but let me close by saying that Common Core is federal intrusion into local education. It takes away teacher autonomy to address the needs of children and use their expert authority. It takes away parental authority. And most importantly, it frustrates children and takes away their desire to excel and their ability to dare to dream. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Our next speaker is Ann Eubank. She is a member of the Alabamians United for Excellence in Education Task Force and SOP Common Core Alabama. She has spent the last 3 years researching Common Core, and now she travels the state trying to educate people on what Common Core state standards are, where and how they began, who is paying for them, and who is gaining the most from them. Please welcome Ann Eubank.
Good evening. I like these things anyway. My name is Ann Eubank. I am the chair of the Jefferson Shelby Rainy Day Patriots Tea Party, the chair of the Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. I spend a lot of time in Montgomery watching those fools do what they do. I am the spokesman for Stop Common Core bus tour in Alabama, and I'm a grandmother. And by the way, it's been the last 4 years. I really need to change that. This little 7-year-old girl, whose name is, I call her Little Miss Chloe, is in the second grade, and she is the reason I have spent these years doing this. I refuse to allow her to be subverted by the government and by corporate educationalists who only want to make money and take control of our educational system. I have this in my hand, this book that is used. I'm from Hoover. And this book is an AP history book, Advanced Placement History Book at St. Park High School in Hoover. And I'm looking at the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. And I'm going to read you Amendment 1 and how they've written it in this book. Congress may make no laws that infringe a citizen's right to freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. Congress may not favor one religion over another, and in parentheses, separation of church and state. How many of you believe that's what the First Amendment is about? That's not what I was taught for the First Amendment, but that's what they're teaching our children. Now, I've spent the last 30 years working with numbers. I'm a numbers person. I'm all about just the facts, ma'am, nothing but the facts. All roads lead to profit, but at whose expense? If they have our children, they have everything. So there's two words when you talk about Common Core that you need to understand: prevaricate and obfuscate. Both of them mean to avoid telling the truth by not directly answering a question. And that's what Common Core is all about. Nobody ever answers directly any question. Obfuscate means to make something difficult so that you can't understand it, to be evasive, unclear, and confusing. Common Core began with money to develop a data system. It's called the State Longitudinal Data System. Every single state in the Union has one. They're all connected. Dr. Bice will tell you, God love him, that our data only goes to the supercomputer. It doesn't go anywhere else. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There's a company in Mobile called STI that, according to the Race to the Top application, can take that data anytime they want to. They don't even have to tell the parents, the schools, even Dr. Bice, the state, and they give it to the federal government. The federal government can take any data that they wish without asking. And then they share it with every other department in the nation: Department of Labor, Department of Human Services, Department of Homeland Security. Any department that they want to give it to or that wants it can have it. I don't know about you, but I'm already on Homeland Security's list. They don't need any more of my data. I'm not harmed of that. They gave grants of between $2.6 and $5 million for three-year projects to set these up. Lisa told you that Common Core was written by five people. And you do not have to believe anything that I say, but if you want to know how Common Core started, you need to Google David Coleman videos. And you listen to him talk about how Common Core started. You've been told that it was a state-led initiative. Nothing, again, could be farther from the truth. Five people: David Coleman, Jason Zimba, Susan Pimentel, William McCallan, and Phil Darrow. Bill Gates paid them millions of dollars to write Common Core. David Coleman makes this cute little comment: none of us had a clue what we were doing. We started writing it on a napkin while we were sitting in a bar. If you don't believe that, you go look it up. Google David Coleman videos and listen to how he talks about how Common Core started. The NGA and the CCSSO knew they couldn't write Common Core after Bill Gates and the federal government asked them to develop standards for the entire nation. So they went to David Coleman, who was head of Achieve at that time, and he said, well, we don't have anybody here that can do that, but I think this little company that I own called Student Achievement Partners can do that. Five people wrote it. So then they said, after they got through, well, nobody's going to pay any attention to us.
David Coleman has a B.A. in philosophy. Yes, he was a Rhodes Scholar, but that's it. And he runs the educational standards for the entire country and every single one of our children. A B.A. in philosophy is what controls our standards. So, he said, well, nobody's going to pay any attention to us, so we're going to need an advisory committee. So they found 24, 25 people that would come and look at these standards and advise them. It was led by Janet Napolitano. How many of you think she is an educational expert? How about Sonny Perdue, governor of Georgia, and 24 other people? Sandra Stotsky and James Milgram were the only two experts. Sandra Stotsky wrote Massachusetts Standards, probably the best in the country. And James Milgram is a mathematics specialist. He refused to sign off on it. Everybody on that committee had to sign a privacy agreement not to talk about it. Those two people have been traveling all over the country talking about it. None of those people had 3 out of the 15 held position as classroom teachers in mathematics. None was a classroom teacher in 2009. None taught elementary or middle school mathematics. None taught special education or even was certified in special education of any kind. None of those people who did this to us were qualified to do so.
And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv.